Okay, we'd like to start listen to comment, which means there has to be some people sitting down to listen. Would you all please take your seat if you're on the board? Excellent. Okay, who's got the list?
I'm working on it right now.
Okay.
I can use another coffee. You do?
How many people you got on the list, Tracy?
Nina and her mom landed.
Seven. Okay. Let's say 3 minutes apiece. There'll be time if other people show up. We'll have a half hour altogether for this. Who's the first person on the list?
Hi, Max Blanchet.
Max, you're on. Max?
Max, you're up.
Okay. And Campbell, thank you for timing again.
We have 3 minutes. Well, we talked money this morning. I'd like to add some things to that. Is it not working?
Doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. I have a comment regarding the way you manage your assets, specifically that restaurant. I hope you visit it this afternoon when you go and visit the station. This thing has been sitting idle for perhaps 10 years, and the opportunity cost, based on what I've been told by restaurateurs in the area, has been of the order of at least $350,000, perhaps as high as $60,000. We're talking real money here. Now, I've discussed this with Arlene and Lavan. The current management is aware of it. We should take advantage of what we have, folks. We should take advantage of that. And it's a very important issue in my mind. And the two options, one would be to hire an engineer architect, prepare fairly definitive plans, and come up with a good cost estimate, and then raise the capital to modify the facilities. That's one thing. The other thing is simply to invite a restaurateur, put out an RFP, invite people to come in and put up the money up front to fix the place. Right now, it's being used as a storage place. And I think the current management is doing a very good job, but my blood pressure goes up whenever I think of what we have failed to do over the last 10 years. It's a bloody disgrace. I'll stop here. And do I have time for something else to say, something else in addition? I'd like to add very quickly that I heard you pass a resolution to the effect that there should not be centralization of the financing. I read American history a little bit. Perhaps you should revisit that. I think I'm a kind of a Hamiltonian, given the dire situation we happen to be here. You need to centralize the money to figure out what's coming in, to make sure that it's spent properly. It seems to me that the stations, I don't mean to insult anybody, have not been up to the task. It's a very serious business. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Richard Phelps. Next on deck is Ben Brass-Hewitz.
Brian Brackney.
Brian Brackney, okay.
Good afternoon. I guess it's almost afternoon. I have a couple of things I want to talk about, just for example purposes. Is there anybody here that thinks an occupation and a war are the same thing? Is anybody here that thinks that the primary aspect of what we're doing in Iraq and Afghanistan is a war, not an occupation? Any hands? You think it's a war, not an occupation?
Sorry.
Well, we're all in unity. But how come our news broadcasters always call it a war? Do you understand how important language is? That subtlety makes so much a difference to the American people who hear that over and over and over again. You hear occupation over and over and over again, you feel somebody screwing somebody. When you hear war, well, maybe it's 50-50. And this is the crap we do. We read the goddamn AP Wire all the time. I mean, I could give you a million examples. But this is why we don't get money coming in. Because people with consciousness hear that and go, that sucks. I'm going to listen to something else. I'll get it off the web. People, if we're going to be the progressive leader in media, we cannot spew out imperialist ideology and imperialist words. We have to speak the truth. Both of those are occupations, hands down. We all agree. Why don't we say that on the air? I don't know, but we don't. Well, I can tell you, I've had lots of people tell me the reason they don't donate to KPFA anymore is because of the news. They think it stinks. But that, I could go through all the programming, and tomorrow I'll talk about programming some more. But I want to get back to a little more of the ideological stuff. You know, three, four years ago when I was chair of the board, our side was going to be a little short for a meeting, so somebody suggested, well, why don't everybody just not come? That way they won't have a quorum. And I said, no. As long as I'm chair of the board, that ain't going to happen.
That's time, Richard.
That's 3 minutes? Whoa, okay. Anyway, 3 years later, both sides have done that.
Brian, meeting. And next is Virginia Brown.
First off, I am holding, and this is something put out by the Take Back KPFK people. This is Exhibit A, and speaking for itself about the anti-intellectualism and foaming at the mouth mentality of many of those people. I think I agree that probably there is more on the left to left liberalism and Stalinist political cults, as one guy put it. But I think the thing is, we need to be taken seriously. No one, not even within, very few people, not even within the progressive movement, take this kind of tripe seriously. I mean, few people agree, for instance, that they would agree that sentences may be excessive, but cop killers and bank robbers are people to be lionized as heroes on the left. I think also we have to look at what has happened since. I grew up on the Pacifica of the 70s, which was KPFK in Los Angeles, which was very diverse, and it went beyond political programming. We need some things that go beyond it, like they had the Fire Sign Theater, which some of those people went on to the mainstream. They had a science fiction program that went into cyberspace, and it was not afraid of controversy. And I think we need to recognize that this. I think also a lot has changed since the lockout in 99, and I think Pacifica could easily wind up breaking up into three or four offshoots because high definition radio is going to be $20 to $30 within the next 4 to 5 years. I'm surprised I can't get a high def transistor radio at Radio Shack yet. But I think I will be in 4 or 5 years ago. I think I think I will be able to just walk right in and get a $20, and that will mean open opportunities and people who don't. Progressives who feel that they don't like that Pacifica's too cautious or not cautious or too sectarian will start up on their own. A lot, in fact, in 99, the web was in the same place that TV was when KPFA was founded. It was fresh and new. Everybody was getting into it, but it was still not dominant or even. Even now, the web is not dominant. There's still a lot of stuff you cannot get on the web, even though a lot of young people don't understand that you have to go to the library or go on the radio for it. But things like YouTube and Facebook were in the future. Another thing is regarding work with CPB. I think on the one hand, I'm glad it exists, but when I think of Ken Burns, yes, I think he's a great chronicler of history, but I was disappointed, for instance, at the one-sided treatment of Hiroshima bombing, that presenting only the favorable view, and I know that that's because CPB has worse than corporates. It has Neanderthal super patriots in Congress breathing down its back, threatening to cut its funding, and how do we make certain that our archives do not have to deal with those people who are worse than corporate funders?
Thank you. Virginia, and then next is Fernando.
Hi, can you hear me? I can't hear myself. That seemed like a good idea for humor on the radio for things like Fire Sign Theater. Pledge drives. Okay, we're having two pledge drives coming up during the election campaign. So that's kind of a concern. Unless you make a community membership something that you celebrate in the pledge drives, which I really think needs to be a much more talked about campaign. It's, the pledge drives are very disciplined, and I think that this way of talking about our democratic process here can work right into that to try and invite community members in. There's a campaign against the democracy that's being led to go right out over the airwaves now. Board members are elected by a progressive membership. There's at least as much potential for large context visionaries to be there through a democratically selected board as in a self-selected model. And I could say a lot more, but I didn't write it down, and there's more to say. Like, the websites could be so vastly improved and need to be. And I went to the Grassroots Radio Conference and kind of haltingly asked people there, would you ever use volunteers to help with the websites? And they all looked at me kind of blankly like, well, yeah, that's what we do. And some of them have really good websites. There are some people in the area here in KPFAville who've offered to help with the website and have not been taken up on it. I don't know if we can afford a volunteer coordinator, and I guess not, but it would be nice if we could do that instead of a GM sometimes. And you know, because at least we wouldn't be letting go of a good old staff member. This name, Take Back KPFA, that a lot of us used in order to get this station. Does that mean 1 minute, or does that mean... Okay. In order to try and make sure that this network continued, is now being improperly used by people that oppose the whole idea of this. And okay, so the bylaws need to be changed, but not in a dishonest way behind the backs where there isn't even open discussion on the air, but one side only gets to discuss being supposedly against the elections, while at the same time they're getting their own candidates in a very well-funded, organized way. Thanks.
Thank you. Fernando, and then Lawrence.
I'd like to thank you for being here and for allowing me to speak my piece here. I'm hoping that I will be able to make a difference in, by the end of the day, because although the numbers look good and the how KPFK did great in the fund drive and all, I feel a little bit embarrassed to tell you the truth, because day in and day out, the fund drive was about all these continuous therapies, all these healing processes from CDs that can make you rich overnight to an engagement with somebody can get you in touch with your dead husband and your dead husband's pet spirit and all that. That's really, really embarrassing, guys. I mean, if we're going to go for the ratings, let's get Rush Limbaugh. He can get us $1 million in 2 days. But what about content? What about the Pacifica mission? Yes, I understand our founder, Lou Hill, didn't have Latinos and Filipinos here in the Bay Area broadcasting. He was eating fresh vegetables as he was broadcasting, but he didn't bring the Latinos and the Filipinos in to the broadcast. Well, that's, you know, we're not perfect, right? But nevertheless, the mission says to present the information not shown in the same medium. So our audience is very intelligent. We don't have to try to repeat the Fox News, Associated Press stuff. When they tune out from our broadcast, they go to NPR, they go to television news, CNN, and they get the other side. So why not make a difference? I got to tell you, our intelligent audience can really, really see through all of us. We cannot fool anybody. Nobody's going to break the piggy bank and bet all the money on the horse that's going to lose the race. They want to see somebody who is an inspiration, somebody that gives them a sense of meaning, a sense of purpose, somebody who's challenging the status quo, who's burning the people in power's feet to the fire. But we're not. About 1 million people will be thrown out of their houses because of foreclosures. We're not doing anything special about these people becoming homeless. There's an legion of wave of racist attacks against immigrants. We don't have any special programming. Yeah, it's fine to have the subsidized cheap food that the immigrants provide, to have the subsidized cheap food that the immigrants get out of the farm labor, and to wear the subsidized clothing, cheap clothing that immigrants do in the textile industry. But it's not okay to talk about their issues. No, we got to be fair. We got to be inclusive. And it's time to make a difference. We need to revisit the kind of programming we're going to do, to revisit and try to understand what the Pacifica Mission is all about, because clearly we're not doing a good job. Look, The numbers speak very, very fairly. I go in the community. We broadcast in four countries on a daily basis, Monday to Friday. We do reports of broadcast in a dozen countries. And we have recognition outside the United States as well as within the United States. But in Pacifica, well, you know who you think of me and my team. But let me tell you something. I go into the community and talk to people and tell me, I go to NPR because oftentimes NPR is to the left of Pacifica. And that's really embarrassing. Because they tell me that to my face, okay? Please, reconsider what you're doing. Thank you.
Lawrence Reyes, and after that, Dwayne Bradley.
Good afternoon, whatever it is right now. What I'd like to talk about is the decline in listenership, membership, and the continuing hemorrhaging of those two things. And our product is programming. I can't say that enough. Local news is programming. And the fact that at KPFK we have no local news department. Once in a while you get a plug in there, and you know they talk about it, but for the most part there's no local news. The programming is completely irrelevant to the community. Yes, Sophia, it lacks diversity. There's no diversity at KPFK, so don't be fooled about it. You just listen to Drive Time all the way up to 6 o'clock and you'll see that there's no diversity. 7 o'clock in the morning, you'll hear one person of color who has an excellent program that's based on content. The rest of the day, you know, it's all, you know, anti-communist propaganda, pro-war mongering, with the lack of intelligence, the lack of any intellectual discourse when it comes to deconstructing these paradigms of war, marginalization, homelessness, all of that. So this is just a constructive criticism, and I offer that to you because I know that there are some programmers here. 1 minute. Okay. The lack of local news. I mean, the fact that there's nothing going on locally that in regards to the way the police is impacting the communities, in regards to the way the foreclosure crisis is impacting the community, the way war is impacting the community, the lack of alternatives in those communities, and if there's no local news that's being able to string those reports from the communities, then obviously, you know, the station becomes irrelevant to the community. Now, what I like to call for is that you find some way to fully fund KPFK local news. Find some way, whether it's grants or whatever it is, other than underwriting, that you find some kind of grants. You know, I mean, if the CPB is already willing to give money to the archives, I'm sure that if we come up with a good proposal, that we could probably get some assistance with fully funding the news department, or you look at the waste that's going on right now at KPFK as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Dwayne Bradley, and next is Jack.
Hi, hello again, and thanks again. I ran out of time yesterday, 10 minutes. I appreciate the fact that you invited the general managers that are not from Berkeley to come to this meeting to be part of this. I especially enjoy that. 10 minutes, you know, it's a token, and it's a step back. And I do appreciate it. I don't think it's enough. So I'm going to take advantage of public comment because, hey, I'm a member too. There's a couple things I didn't get to say yesterday that I wanted to say, and then I really didn't want to spoil the good mood I was trying to share with you. But and I don't want to do that now either, but it might happen because I've said some of these words before, and in the culture of Pacifica, they have the... I don't know, the contextual repercussion of verbal neutron bombs. Because we talk about what we do. We're radio professionals. You know, some of us are paid professionals and some are unpaid, but we're professional radio people, all of us, wherever we participate within Pacifica. And in the professional radio world, there are certain, certain operating guidelines and certain terminology that's used. Even using the word professionalism in the recent past was fraught with peril in Pacifica, because we're volunteer-driven and so forth. But we're also professionals. We also have to be concerned with things like marketing. You know, and in that regard, we have to be concerned with how we brand ourselves. And I think that Pacifica, and this is not my term, but it came out of our meetings Thursday in the management group, and I give credit to my colleague Grigsby Hubbard from Washington, D.C. I think he was the one who threw this out in our group meeting. Pacifica is suffering from an experience of, I guess, being in the limbo of legitimacy, because it's like if the radio is on in the forest but nobody's listening, is there really a radio? And one of the things I'd like you to consider, we had to increase to 60 days of on-air fund drive this past year to raise the money for KPFT to stay on the air. That's 60 days that we're not doing the difference-making that we're supposed to be doing. We're raising money. So why can't we do it in other ways, like through planned giving, through web advertisement, through e-commerce, through a member directory where the community can, you know, if I want my air conditioner fixed, I want to go to somebody that's a KPFT member to get it fixed, or something like that. So a member directory of services that we can share. And also, how come 150 affiliates in Pacifica, the majority of them have figured out how to create ethical underwriting guidelines, and we who invented public radio haven't figured that out yet?
Thank you. Jack, and next is Stan.
Jack Van Aken from Los Angeles. Happy to see you all here. Somebody told me once, before you criticize people, you should always compliment them. So I'd like to say that you guys really look great. I was listening to the finance report, which I actually have been tuning into some of the National Finance Committee streams. I've sort of been telling the few people that ask me that things look pretty dire. You got these, you know, 4-week fund drives at, you know, a couple of the stations, and Dwayne just told you about T is having trouble. In fact, they're all having trouble. But then I think I got a shot of adrenaline today when I heard that there was going to be a, you know, break-even year by the end of the year, and I thought, well, the room is going to burst out in applause. This is really fantastic news. What's going on? Why aren't they applauding? I was ready to applaud and just rewrite my whole script. And then I thought, well, maybe it's because, you know, one of the fund drives got moved into September. I mean, because if you're running a deficit like I think you're running, then that fund drive receipt would cover it. By the end of the year, you'd be at break even. Unless I'm missing something, that's called creative accounting, or to be perfectly accurate, it's really called kicking the can down the road. It looks like you're going to have trouble next year, next fiscal year. And I think you really need to start being honest with yourselves. I didn't hear a word of criticism, even from my pals that usually speak up. Maybe, you know, I've been missing it. But, you got to take this stuff seriously because, you know, the trajectory here is not good. And you can say, yeah, we turned things around, you know, because you fired a lot of people. But if you know, any outsider that looks at your Pacifica website is going to think this organization folded up in the 90s and that somebody kept it going. And then if you hear these promos saying there are 4 GM openings, any outsider is going to think you're hanging by a thread. And you know what? I think you are hanging by a thread.
Thank you. Stan, and next is Bill Kierwagen.
Hi, Stan Woods, former member of the KPFA LSB. This is an issue, I want to speak just briefly about an issue that keeps coming up again and again. And I understand the PMB isn't directly involved with programming, but they are directly involved, or supposed to be, and make sure the program adheres to the mission. And once again, I'd say throughout our listening area, listening audience throughout the country, most are probably registered Democrats, but a good number, like myself, are with the Green Party or in California, the Peace and Freedom Party or other equivalent parties throughout the country. We're a substantial part of the listening audience, I think. And but yet, every election year, I've only sporadically monitored the other stations' news coverage and programming coverage, but I certainly know in the Bay Area, a good segment of the audience is routinely disrespected. That is, in the sense that there's almost always, at the best, very reluctant coverage of quote-unquote third-party candidates. I've had programmers refer to people like the late Peter Camejo, who was one of the most eloquent people in the American left, lifelong socialist. At the time he died, he was a leading member of the Green Party in California. He debated Schwarzenegger when Schwarzenegger ran for during the recall election, just devastated him. But I've heard him referred to in the air as a marginal candidate when he was running. He told me actually that he got more coverage in Fox-owned Channel 2 TV in Oakland, in fair coverage, than he got from KPFA. Actually, he had kinder words for KPFK. He said he got more coverage there. But so I'm saying that I hope you look at the election coverage. I hope that so-called third parties are given fair coverage. And fair coverage doesn't mean like CNN, that you squeeze them in for 2 minutes at the end, like, here's our nutcase, you know. And that really means a lot to a lot of us. And also, besides the people that may be registered Democrat, many times they break ranks and vote for parties that are a lot closer to them ideologically, the Peace and Freedom or Green Party candidates. So you're not disrespecting approximately 200,000 people in California, for example, that are registered Greens or Peace and Freedom. You're disrespecting the rest of us. And also, I think it also is, we're supposed to be a dramatic, stark alternative to the corporate media. And unless we give fair coverage, one last quick point is one example. I confronted one prominent programmer. Unfortunately, she's not alone, so there's no point in mentioning her name about this. And she said, well, if we had somebody on that was running against Dianne Feinstein, I love them on a first name basis for these multimillionaires. Dianne would have to show up or we couldn't do it. And I said, no, that's not true at all. You can invite Dianne, and believe me, the Peace and Freedom Green candidate would love to have a chance to invite to debate Dianne Feinstein. But no, you don't have to get their agreement for a full-scale debate before you can give fair coverage. So I hope you guys will monitor the coverage throughout your listening areas. Thank you.
Bill Hiavagan, and after that, Serene Roberts.
Hello again, William Hairwagon from New York, WBAI. I think yesterday I wasn't too clear, but first let me start off with two other things. Congratulations to your listeners on the East Coast, New York, and D.C. Your stations actually have 4 representatives each here, which is what's supposed to be here, and I don't think the other stations do. And I'm not saying it's horrible. People have problems. They can't get here, but congratulations, East Coast. And then question for George. The agenda for this weekend meeting, there was only 2 pages available. It looks like there's more. If we could get the additional pages, we'd like to get them. Thank you. And I wanted to clarify one of the comments, at least, that I made yesterday without good notes. And I tried to make some notes today. Maybe they'll be a little more intelligible. I started off with Alex Steinberg saying that he and others are interested in some program council type activity. Now, this, I want to make it perfectly clear that Mr. Steinberg and his friends and their national and local management are union busting regarding the unpaid staff organizing committee at WBAI. Now, there's some reasoning behind that, and they will never talk about it, is that the bylaws, the AFTRA union agreement and the Unpaid Staff Organizing Committee union agreement, the documents lay out the procedures not only for the program council functioning at WBAI at least, but also for hiring, firing, discipline, complaints regarding staff, paid or unpaid. And if you bust the union, then there's no rules, and we can start all over. And you can continue doing what they've been doing for the last several years, is just hiring and firing who they want, and just having, now they want to get the LSBs in charge of programming. That's been a goal for quite a few years. When there was a procedure set up, and the reason the procedure for the program council at WBAI didn't work was because people would not participate. People, the managers of the departments were supposed to attend every meeting. There was Kathy Davis here. She attended. I congratulate her. But there were other managers. There was one in particular that never attended one program council meeting. So they couldn't get quorums. They could never get anything done. And so the program council was a failure. We need to revive it, follow the rules, enforce them. People have to attend the meetings. Then since management follows no procedures, if the union is busted, then there are no rules for that program council, hiring, firing, et cetera, et cetera. We need to respect the workers and the unions. This provides rules and procedures for both, for the overview of programming and the personnel procedures. Making new arrangements by busting the union just obfuscates the move in Pacifica away from workers and listener respect.
There's food in the back, but
I'll eat later. Thank you.
No, that's the recommendation. Is that please, Brian?
That's for the board.
Brian, the food is for the board. We're glad if there's anything over would to
later
to have it. But it's we need to eat. We're going to be eating here. I'm sorry. Take another 30 seconds, Bill.
Thank you. Regarding the finances and budget. I'm wondering if we're hiding things, at least at BAI, and perhaps nationally, by having all procedures never done on time. Everything's late, and LaVarne says, we've got 2.5 months, so maybe they'll get it done in 2.5 months, and then we'll discover things afterwards, several months later, that they, you know, they hire people that didn't tell anybody, and they snuck them in, and the FTEs don't, full-time equivalent employees don't really add up, and they pay for programs. This is what they did last year. I hope they're not going that way this year. It sort of looks that way to me. And on the budgeting and the actual collection of monies, the fulfillment rates at BAI are horrible. And so they run what do they call them, fund drives, as long as they can. And longer and longer, and they, you know, the old management was criticized for that. That one of the reasons they got rid of them. They go now 32 days, I think someone said was the last one, and they reach their goals, but they never get the money. The fulfillment rates are bad.
That's time.
Thank you.
Next is Serene Roberts, and last. Thank you.
Oh, geez, I broke the mic. Thanks. I won't try to top Jack. My mom used to say that if you can't say something nice, don't say anything. But in this crowd, that won't do. A visual for those of you who aren't in the room. There's one person in this room who's under the age of 35. I think she's probably under 30, just so you know what the Pacifica actually looks like. Someone should think about that. A number of things. The failure to collect $100,000 in installment payments, I was listening to the stream. I heard the CFO, I think is the title that's being used, say that, oh, well, the new IGM has it all under control. This failure happened under her while she was CFO in IGM, by the way. So I'm not sure whether there was an acceptance of responsibility there. That and many other failures happened under her. Also said, oh, well, you know, 2010 is almost over, only a couple more months, so forget all about my failures, forget about the fact that a proper budget has yet to be presented to WBAI's board, a documented budget, while she was GM. Forget that PFW still, I think, hasn't seen their budget. But let's onward, ever. Let's pretend everything is fine. With regard to legal expenses, I heard that question come from Campbell Johnson about how they're being billed. If National makes a decision that costs a station money, National should pay for it. So when in New York, an IGM, who had been brought in expressly to fire Bernard White, when he got romantically involved with a staffer and the sexual harassment suit that came out of that, and Guma, Greg Guma, you know, who still can't stop writing about Pacifica, although he's been gone for how long, kept him in that position, not even trying to mitigate the damage. Any monies that are due as a result of that, the cost of the lawsuit or the settlement, should come out of National, because that was a National decision. There was no one at BAI who put Robert Adams in that position, and nobody at BAI who kept him in that position. Okay. On the story of the gag rule, and I did hear last night some comments, people highly upset that someone had not been sufficiently reverent in their discussion of the LSB elections, the incredibly flawed, almost bogus elections that have been occurring on a regular basis, and I hope that Renee is able to turn that around in this year, although I know the phrase turnaround is not one that we use too much here. You know, the fact is you're required to cover the elections. You can't tell them they have to be enthusiastic and that they have to cover it in a way that pleases everyone. Okay? So, ease up. And this is not my necessarily endorsing the programmer who's under attack for that. But there's something to be said for the fact that Pacifica does not take criticism well. And that, in fact, it penalizes people who speak out against some of the dirtiest actions of this governing board. And I don't care how many times you wave the words democracy and transparency, you can't cover your dirt. With regard to this PNB meeting structure, and Dwayne mentioned it briefly, this 10 minutes, you fly someone across the country. It's good that people who do similar jobs should be in regular contact with each other. I don't know that they necessarily need to do it at Berkeley in a meeting when four of them are interim, but hey, that's just me since we're supposed to be broke. But then you give them 10 minutes to report to the board, many of whom will not see them again because not everyone's going to return to the board. And this board, in fact, only gets to each station area once every 15 months or so. You give them 10 minutes, and then you give them the option of taking questions by filling the 10 minutes or not. A total waste of money and a total waste of whatever talent actually does exist on the board, and there are some people with some talent and some principles on the board. So I think that's a mistake, and that needs to be reformatted in terms of the allotment of time. A bunch more things to me to say. How much time do I have? Okay, just... Lynn Stewart, who is a member of the WBI LSB and is called the People's Attorney for having represented everyone in every case, regardless of how unpopular, was resentenced on Thursday to 10 years. Lynn is 70 years old. You guys passed a motion on this at your last meeting on supporting her. She is 70 years old, is a cancer survivor, still with many medical issues. A 10-year sentence for many of us feels like a death sentence. So we're asking that the Pacifica National Board, and the motion never got to the website as was to have happened since last April, which certainly would have done more to bring attention to her case. I want to express my solidarity and the solidarity of many people on this board with Lynn as an individual and with her family and with the communities that she has supported. And I want to ask the Pacifica National Board to try just a little bit to be a little more like Lynn.
Thank you. Tracy, would you explain what's happening for lunch?
Hi, folks. There is a light lunch on the back table there. That lunch was ordered for the members of the board and the Pacifica staff. So if it's possible, we'd like to get first crack at it because we have a short interval for lunch. Any leftovers, and there should be some, are available for general consumption. And I think that's about it.
Okay, so we'll take a break for lunch. We'll form a line and... pick up a plate and bring it back. We have 45 minutes. Well, 40 minutes for lunch.